助けてほしいかナナミ。
心を燃やせ。限界を超えろ。
Hello and welcome to More Than Headlines, a weekly anime news podcast made by Australians for global citizens. I'm your extremely humble host, Brendan White, aka the Salt and Pepper Senpai. And joining me, as is tradition, my trusted co-host and rival, the Bakugo to my Midoriya, Miss Courtney Barrett. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. We've managed to make it to week two, so go us first and foremost. Life is good. The weather is intermittent, but the anime is always flowing.
Hell yeah. Let's read the news.
Let's read the goddamn news.
You like the news?
All right. And the first... That was like a blind drop that happened just then, viewers and listeners. So if there was some chortling you heard, it's because we just went in fast and loose on that one. Yeah, but the first bit of news, we officially willed this bad boy into existence. Sakamoto Days anime officially announced. An hour after our first episode dropped last week, the Sakamoto Days anime was announced. So firstly, you are welcome. And secondly, we have a trailer and some details. The anime is slated to air in January of 2025. So luckily, we will not be waiting too long at all.
Thank God. And on top of that, the trailer and the poster show the two sides to our favorite ex-hitman, Sakamoto. So much so that Twitter, formerly X, users have been saying he looks like a mashup of Geto and Gojo when he's in his skinny form. He's going to be voiced by Tomokazu Sugita, who's the voice of Gintoki in the Gintama anime, which is super exciting.
It is very exciting, and I am hyped as all hell. Like, I still can't believe that we were hypothesizing and crossing fingers and had like the spirit circle going on episode one about this. And yeah, an hour later, boom, it is there. But I am now just very eagerly and impatiently waiting down the days until I get to witness Sakamoto creatively subdue a countless and endless flow of bad guys trying to go in and test their mettle and see if he's still got it. So bring on January, I say.
Honestly, we recorded and then our episode went live, and then an hour later, Brendan tagged me on Twitter in an announcement post, and I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And I was like tweeting about it and I was so hyped. And then I went to bed like half an hour later. I was just like laying there like buzzing with excitement, like, oh my God, it's happening.
We did this.
Oh, it's so good. I'm so ready. The trailer is fantastic as well. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. It's brilliant. So excited.
Yeah, for sure. We'll make sure we'll link the trailer in the show notes for the episode too. If you're watching or listening along, just click on that little hyperlink and enjoy the greatness that is Sakamoto Days.
But besides that, we have some news that is a bit less exciting. Netflix have announced a live action spin-off of Kakegurui called Bet. It's going to be produced by the creator of Warrior Nun, Simon Barry, and the series is already in production and is going to have 10 episodes.
This is an interesting one because, yeah, the manga, super popular, and the spin-offs and just the amount of sheer volume that they're sort of squeezing out of this franchise already blows my mind. Like, we've already got the two anime series, a live action series with two seasons, two live action films. And then also the spin-off manga series, which also included Kakegurui Twin. So we are drowning and inundated by school-based gambling hotness at the moment. But yeah, I'm on the fence. I'm very much on the fence about this because I had a good time with the anime, but I don't know if I need this in my life.
I'm like our live action discussion last week. I am weary. Wary and weary. I'm tired and I'm also concerned because on the one hand, we've had so many bad anime adaptations, but on the other hand, we've also had some good live action adaptations of anime. So I'm waiting very patiently, but my big caveat here is that I like Kakegurui. I think it's good, but I don't think it's amazing as a series. I'm like, it's fine. I've seen better gambling anime. I've watched Kaiji. I've watched Akagi. Like, I've seen better gambling anime. I'm unsure. I have a bad feeling, but I will wait.
I echo that same bad feeling slash trying to preach some patience as well, where I enjoyed the anime. I binged the first two seasons and the prequel spin-off within the span of a few days with my hyperfixation and just need to know what happens. And yeah, the story is very rinse and repeat, but it was very entertaining, and being a bit of a gambling fan in real life and, you know, virtual worlds as well is always a good hook for me. But it just feels like this is Netflix just trying to cash grab, where they're like, you know what, there's some loose similarities here with some of the concepts from Squid Game as far as high stakes and gamblings and lives on the line and all this kind of stuff. Let's try and make some more money out of this IP as well. So I feel it's going to be a money earner and like a view generator for Netflix. But
I think
the fact that they're going to westernize this is also a little... Warrior Nun was nothing to write home about, so Simon Barry's not writing any records for me.
It's also interesting that they're like, yeah, it's based on the manga and it has a different name, but it has like the characters have the same names as far as I could see. Like, it's still Yumeko. So I'm like, if it, like, how loosely based is it? Like, are we talking like a direct adaptation, or, you know, we don't have quite enough information just yet, I think.
It's very vague and wishy-washy. And yeah, I'm a little scared, but we'll see, because I enjoyed the anime. I haven't read a panel of the manga, but the anime was fine. And it's one of probably, I guess, the stronger performers for Netflix, hence why they're trying to get more blood out of this stone. So we'll see what happens when Bet makes its way to the screen, probably sooner rather than later, the fact that it's already in production. So we won't have to wait long at all for these 10 episodes, which scares me a little bit too.
Bet, and the name, Bet, please. Yeah. Just something a little more thoughtful, please.
Yeah, it's going to be a time. Whether that is a good or a bad time is still yet to be determined, but strap in, gambling fans, because we've got some live action coming your way on Netflix in the very near future. The next little news headline, Blue Lock the movie episode Nagi has received an Australian release date. Australians unanimously overjoyed right now thinking about this and hearing about this potentially for the first time. In terms of anime movie release dates, Australians eaten good this year, Courtney. Blue Lock the movie episode Nagi is heading to Australian cinemas on June 27 of this year. So we're recording on the 2nd of June right now, so a little over 3 weeks' time. The film was already released in Japan in April earlier this year, and the rest of the world is finally getting the chance to experience Nagi's story. Yes.
The spin-off of the popular soccer manga series was well received in Japan. So this film actually had like a one-shot spin-off manga. So it's based on that, and that was super, super popular. So the film was well received in Japan, and the action-packed trailer has Western fans hyped for the release. I personally love Blue Lock, and I was in Japan at the time that it was airing, and I got to see how much the Japanese fans love this series.
Very, very jealous right now because, for one, I'm so hyperfixated on Japan, and yet for some reason I haven't been there yet in my life, so that's on me. But secondly, the fact that you were there living and breathing the Blue Lock fandom just makes me jealous again, because Blue Lock, it was one of my favorites that came out in that 2022-2023 window. And it was crazy because Ayashi came out a few months before that. I'm like, this is the next great football anime. And then Blue Lock came out and I'm like, Ayashi who? Like, it just ran over the top of it. And I feel really bad saying that out loud. But yeah, Blue Lock was so good. I like that they took that sort of tried and true sports anime formula and just turned it on its head. And then combining that with 8-bit animation and art style just really, really hooked me right from that first ball being kicked. And yeah, I cannot wait to check out the movie. And I think the second season is coming out later this year too. I could be wrong, but it's like October window, I think.
Yeah, it's soon.
So yeah, we have got plenty of football or soccer, depending on where you are in the world, coming your way. And yeah, episode Nagi just looks like a good time because Nagi is a great character and he was one of my favorites from this universe. Like, so many unique character archetypes that we got thrown our way in that first season. So I can't wait to see what happens in the movie and then, season two when it comes out later.
I am so excited. I love sports anime already. As someone who is not super athletic, but has like played a bit of sport and likes watching sport. Like, I love sports anime, and I find if you get a good one, like Haikyuu, like Blue Lock, even like Aoashi, I feel like it can really feel like you're actually watching or engaging with the sport. Mm-hmm. And Blue Lock does such a good job of that, but also doesn't make it predictable, doesn't make it, you know, like, I love Haikyuu, but it's very, you know, uses the same kind of formula of like play a game, yeah, get excited. There's great animation, great scenes, but then the game ends, right? Blue Lock just, it's something that could never happen. And that's what I love. Like, they would never just like get a bunch of teenage boys and put them in soccer prison and be like, you're playing soccer. And if you fail, you're never playing soccer again.
It's insane. And those stakes, just that, it's got one of the strongest first episodes of any anime I've seen, because it just sets the stakes, creates the world, and then just constantly has us guessing. Like, you see Isagi and the other like dude that you feel is going to be the two main rivals in that first episode, and then that rug gets ripped out from under us completely in that first episode. Like, I'm trying to avoid spoiling anything, but I'm just like, what is going on here? But I need more of this because it is so batshit crazy, and I'm here for it, Courtney.
Also, hot guys. Like, if you love hot guys, if you love hot anime guys, like, just watch Blue Lock, because even if you don't care about sports, even if the story doesn't interest you, there's so much good fan service in this anime.
There's literally hundreds of hot guys. Like, there's, 300 or so, yeah, hot young football wannabe stars that are getting culled slowly but surely in this tournament and in this football prison. But, yeah, they're all dashingly handsome. They're all got cool abilities and unique looks and aesthetics. Like, yeah, fans of anime hot guys are eating well, yeah, watching Blue Lock.
But yeah, if you have ever wanted to see a hot guy play soccer and like maybe you like want a hot guy to like kick a soccer ball in your face, like, it's these guys. Like, these are the guys that I like. Baro and Kunigami, like, if they were to just like shoot like footballs at like 100 k's an hour at me and I died, I would be so happy.
I'd be the same, actually. Like, yeah, Baro, he's one of the standouts amongst a cast of hundreds, like I said, and yeah, he can crash tackle me anytime. Like, I'll give him my red card, my yellow card, whatever cards he wants, my bank cards, he can take them all. Like, rob me, Baro, it's fine.
Oh my god,
rob that's me. The extent of my soccer knowledge.
This, yeah, lots of crimes in soccer.
Yeah,
anyway, Viz Media have announced their new manga licenses for 2025, which is super exciting if you're a manga enjoyer. They've announced basically, I think it's maybe not their whole lineup, but quite a few series that they've got coming out soon. The biggest names include Beyblade X, Firefly Wedding, Mujina Into the Deep, and an ice hockey manga called Dogs Red, which I know for a fact the BookTok girlies are going to be excited for.
I know little about BookTok girlies. I've got many questions now about this that I'm going to ask you offline, but I'm definitely intrigued by that statement. But yeah, circling back to the news at hand here, in addition to that, the One Piece Heroines novel will be licensed, as well as manga such as Minecraft, the manga, Ruri Dragon, Kaiju No. 8 B-sides, Boruto 2 Blue Vortex, and Tokyo Alien Bros, plus many, many more.
I am really excited for Firefly Wedding. It's a romance. I love romance. Dogs Red, because I'm one of the BookTok girlies. I'm okay. An ice hockey BookTok girly. And Tokyo Alien Bros looks really good. Like, just the premise looks really cool. And everyone is really into ice hockey right now.
Yeah, Stanley Cup final is on our doorstep.
Yep. I don't watch it for the hockey is all I will say.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'm sensing a theme here on this podcast, the more we do this together. But yeah, I'm still curious, like, is there room for BookTok boys in the BookTok girlies club as well? Or do we have our own subset where I've just got to hang out with the boys over there? Or can I sort of potentially share my thoughts with the BookTok girls?
You can join. You're totally welcome. I just need you to know that there's so much smut, Brendan.
You are, do you know who you're talking to right now, Courtney? Like, yeah, sometimes they call me out in the streets, the smut daddy. So, you know, I think I'll fit right in with the book talk girlies. So that should be fine. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I'm a hockey fan due to, you know, living in Canada for a few years. I embrace the Toronto Maple Leafs and they just eternally let me down. They are the underachievers. They're losers. Every professional sports team just about that I support are just eternal losers. So my heart is always just on life support when it comes to watching sport, but I'm going to shift and jump bandwagons and join Dogs Red because it looks like a good time. And Magina Into the Deep, I looked at some of the little trailers and announcement on that. That looks like it's going to be my kind of vibe as well. We've got sort of this young female, I don't know if she's an assassin or something, but she's flying around doing almost like parkour, stabbing and fighting dudes and dudettes, and the color palettes covered in neon, and it's got a really cool like synthwave soundtrack going to it. So I'm like, if that's going to translate to a manga panel, I'm down for that too. So I'm going to check out Magina Into the Deep as well.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And the last bit of news that we've got coming your way, listeners and viewers, Suicide Squad Isekai has another new character trailer. The newest character PV trailer for Suicide Squad Isekai features Peacemaker. It also shows scenes of the helmeted character fighting good guys, bad guys, or just guys. Who the hell knows? Alongside the other main characters, including the legendary Harley Quinn.
The anime is scheduled to premiere in Japan sometime in July 2024, so we won't have to wait too long to see the bad guys get their time in the anime spotlight.
I've got to say, this looks like a bloody good time, pun intended. Like DC, a very up and down and hit and miss with their content over the last decade or so, but recency biases aside, I feel the Harley Quinn animated series that they did, like the adult animated series, was really, really well done. And it feels tonally that this is on the same line of thought and the same track. And the fact that we're combining, you know, villains from Gotham getting transported into a fantasy world where we've got steady amounts of violence, that crass humor, and then like Wit Studio at the helm. Like, I am so in for this. This looks great.
When I heard it was going to be an isekai, I was like, so conflicted. I was like, isekai, oversaturated, bad, but Western, DC, good, maybe. I'm really excited. I think from the first few trailers, I really like the art style. I haven't seen the Suicide Squad movie, but I love the idea of just like lots of like cool, bad girls, like being cool and bad. So I'm excited for that.
I wouldn't even be upset if we get like a reverse harem vibe where Harley Quinn has just a group of budding knights and mages and stuff just doting over her for the whole series. Like, give me some of that. Like, that's a thirst trap waiting to happen.
It has that shark guy as well.
Yeah, it's got King Shark in there, who's one of my favorites.
Is he a shark? Like a real?
He's a shark, yeah. Yeah, he's actually like the shark royalty, like in the scene. He's sort of since come up and, yeah, is doing bad things with the Suicide Squad. So yeah, he's a great character, both in the second Suicide Squad or the soft reboot they did, but also he's in the Harley Quinn animated series as well, and he's in the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League game that came out to very mixed reviews.
Shark King. Makes sense.
Yeah, that's it. But no, I'm keen as a bean for Suicide Squad Isekai. Like, it looks like it's going to be a very different take on the very tried and true and very overdone isekai formula.
Yes, I'm so excited. So excited.
So excited. And yeah, if you can't wait till Suicide Squad Isekai makes its way to the screens later this year, don't worry, because we've got some nice little status updates on all of the big name titles out there currently doing the rounds. We're just going to tackle this in alphabetical order. So first and foremost, Demon Slayer. The Hashira arc is still taking place over on Crunchyroll, with season 4, episode 4, dropping tomorrow on Monday, June 3rd. I cannot wait for more Demon Slayer.
Me neither. I'm kind of glad this series was staggered a bit later in this season. It kind of gives it a bit more breathing room, which I think for such a big series, I think it needs, honestly. But another huge release happened last week, and Haikyuu! Battle at the Garbage Dump. The movie is out. It's in the cinemas. It came out on the 31st, so Thursday last week. I went and saw it on Friday, and it was so good. The cinema was packed. There were cosplayers. It was
so good.
Brilliant. Love, 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 love.
I saw some of the posts you were doing on the socials. It looked like you and the crew just had the absolute best time. I intended to get there over the weekend, but then equal parts laziness and also a couple of the guys I wanted to go with had to sort of postpone things. So I'm going to go check it out this week. But from what I see on the socials and from Haikyuu fans, everyone's saying that it's a fantastic watch and it just further builds on the legacy of this fantastic sports anime.
It's a good time.
It is a good time. Something else that's a good time, listeners and viewers, Kaiju number 8, the 8th episode dropped overnight. So season 1, episode 8, dropping on Sunday, June 2nd. I actually timed my run perfectly last night and caught the midnight watch along with the rest of the world. And I am still just a happy boy. I still love Kafka. I still love everybody and everything in this world. And yeah, it's one of my favorites of 2024.
Honestly, I'm in the same boat. It's so good. I haven't seen the latest episode yet. I'm going to watch it after this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just watching Kafka be... The way that they animate his kaiju form is so good. I really love it. And when they make him do a silly little face, I like that too.
The Kaiju number 8 face animations are some of the best things about that entire anime so far, because it breaks the tension, it breaks the stress, and just the comedic like sprinkling that they do throughout it is so perfectly timed, and it's so great. But I'm also so sad knowing we've only got like what, 4 episodes left in this season. Like, I'm so upset that we might have to wait another 12 months to get the continuation of this great story.
But if you want to watch something else while you're waiting, you can always watch My Hero Academia, the new episode. Season 7, episode 143 drops on Crunchyroll today. I'm not sure what time, but it'll be out today. If you haven't watched it, go watch it and catch up on 143 episodes.
Please do. This 7th season is so strong so far, and I haven't read any of the manga with My Hero, so I don't know where this story goes. Like, I know enough shonen tropes to understand where it probably will end up ultimately, but like, I don't know what's happening beat by beat, and this 7th season has really sunk its hooks into me in a big way, and yeah, I just love it. And the complete inverse, the next one, I don't really love at all. One Piece, the 1107th episode of that is available also. So any One Piece fans out there, any budding Straw Hat Pirates, go check that out and good luck to you.
If you watch this and if you're fully caught up, can you like send us a message on Twitter? Because I want to hear from fans who are like fully, like, when did you start watching it? Like, let me know, because I'm very, very curious, especially as I want to try and get into it.
One of my good friends, Nato, is probably the most devout One Piece fan that I know. He lives and breathes this world, and he constantly tries to get me back in. He got me in the first place, and I'm still sort of probably mad at him for doing that and wasting my time over 192 episodes. But he messaged me a few weeks ago saying that it might have been episode like 1002 or something. I don't remember the exact number, but he said one of the episodes in this current run, he was saying, and amongst some other One Piece tragics, that this is the best looking animation that exists in anime in this episode. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. So I need to take some time to go watch that and see if he's high or there's just One Piece bias going on here. Cause that's big,
big
call.
Big statement.
Yeah. So I'll circle back, but also see if I can do some digging and get some info and feedback on when he got in, how he got in, and how he can help us better sail these seas, because it's choppy water out there in One Piece land, in my opinion.
Chopper water.
Oh, you are on one today. And listeners, also the 32nd episode of More Than Hentai is dropping on this exact same podcast RSS feed. If you're listening to us, if you're watching us, links in the show notes there. And that'll be dropping on June the 6th and sees myself and Ben Kiernan unpacking one of the best new anime that I've seen in years. We did a 2-hour deep dive on episode 1 yesterday of Frieren Beyond Journey's End. And it is, audio listeners, like Courtney is like reacting almost like Looney Tunes-esque as far as the expression she's giving us right now, because Frieren Beyond Journey's End is that good. Am I right?
I'm excited to listen to this episode because I have so many thoughts about Frieren. I wrote a review for Kotaku Australia when the series finished, and I love this series. I a 2-hour deep dive that's going to be so good.
And that's just on the first episode. Oh. And just Frieren as a whole. Like, it, we went some places, but it was really good discussion. And, yeah, your review was phenomenal. And I was in lockstep with you because at the time it was like my number two anime of 2023 because the season hadn't finished when I did my little best of. But now reflecting on it after seeing that entire 28-episode run, it's probably my anime of 2023. Like, it jumps over JJK season two because it's just so good and everything I love about storytelling and fantasy and anime. It's special.
Brilliant. I have a fact.
Give me your fact, please, and thank you.
Okay, everybody. There are loads of anime openings by K-pop artists. That's the main facts, but I have some more info. So I am a huge K-pop stan. Brendan will also be one when I'm finished with him. And the first time I noticed that an opening was performed by one of my favorite K-pop groups was when I was watching Black Clover. Tomorrow by Together performed Everlasting Shine, which is the anime's 12th opening theme. Brendan looks shocked.
Yeah, I don't want to derail the fact thing, so I'll be quiet for now and I'll circle back to my shock.
Yes. Okay, so other K-pop groups that have sung opening songs include Remain's Forget Me Not, it's performed by N-Hyphen. Tower of God's Top is performed by Stray Kids. Shout out to Han, he's my bias. Hopefully he listens to this. Fairy Tales Masayume Chasing is performed by BoA, and One Piece's We Are and Share the World are performed by TVXQ.
Okay, so I'm learning a lot about this K-pop world because most of my musical influence from anime is typically, from sort of J-pop stars and things like that, and there's some fantastic artists and some fantastic open and closed tracks that just blow my mind, but this is intriguing me quite a bit. I am going to give a couple of these songs a listen. Actually, I might just ask you for some recommendations as far as, like, you're saying that these five or so artists that you mentioned, but is there like a song out of that list there that stands apart out of the rest that you go, this is the winner, this is the one that's going to convert you?
Okay, I will say probably my favorite on this list is Everlasting Shine from Black Clover, but I will say, because the songs are only performed by the artists and not like written or produced by them / their companies, like the songs are usually written and produced by like the anime music industry, I find they're not as great a reflection of K-pop music. But it's really, really cool to see them performing these songs because it's such an intersection of my interests. And I'm like, oh my God, like, that's really cool that, you know, they can go from being like these global superstars to also singing songs for cartoons.
Yeah, that's evidenced as well. Like in Kaiju number 8, the fact we've got One Republic and Youngblood the open and the ending for that. Like, and both those songs for me, they hit hard. They are two bangers.
They're so good. I was like, when I first was watching, I think it was episode 2 of Kaiju number 8 is when you hear the opening for the first time, and I was listening, I was like, this sounds weirdly familiar. And then I like looked up who performed it and I was like, One Republic, is it 2012? Am I back in high school? What's happening?
Yeah, they've been writing this song for the last decade just to sort of have their resurgence, you know, their caterpillar moment. They've sort of broken out of the cocoon and now they're a butterfly. So One Republic are back. And yeah, that song Nobody is an absolute
so good.
Because I'm not a One Republic fan, but like this song's made me a One Republic fan.
Just this one.
Just this one. But I'll check out Everlasting Shine and see how that goes as well, and see if I will get into. Did you say Tomorrow Comes Together? Is that how you said it?
Tomorrow by Together.
By Together. Okay, the X threw me there. So Tomorrow by Together, Everlasting Shine. I'll listen to that one and report back on next episode. But Courtney, that brings us to the end of episode 2. It's been an absolute time here, as is the new tradition. Hope you listeners and viewers out there enjoyed those 5 tasty headlines we brought your way, as well as a random fact of the week. Be sure to send us an email or hit us up on the socials should you want to throw some news headlines our way or just general thoughts, hot, warm, or cold takes. Brendan at stayhungry.com. morethansenpai.life is the email, or you can get us on them socials, myself at morethansenpai and Courtney at Kotoni, which is KOUTONII. Courtney, anything else you want to mention before we turn the studio lights off for another week?
I actually will mention that for the next 2 weeks, you aren't going to hear my beautiful voice because I'm getting married.
How dare you fall in love? How dare you?
What the heck? And it's not to a K-pop star or an anime boy. What the hell?
Damn it. Well, they say opposites attract, I guess, or love works in strange ways, but you seem very happy. So yes. You can just live through the K-pop stars and the anime boys via escapism through consumption of anime.
But I'll be back. I'll be back in like 2 weeks with more headlines and Brendan, and it's going to be good.
That's it. Nah. So we're going to miss you for the next 2 weeks, but yeah, we'll keep this show rolling ahead because the news never stops. But be sure to rate, view, subscribe to this podcast. Click the like button if you're on that YouTube, or retweet or share it on the socials, whichever platform you've discovered us on. Thank you. Be sure to head on over to morethanhentai.life to get your hands on the tastiest merchandise in the land. And while you're there, join the Segoi Squad to get exclusive access to perks, content, and giveaways that you will not find anywhere else on planet Earth. But whether your anime be subbed, dubbed, or still yet to come, enjoy yourself, and much love to all gorgeous waifus and husbandos out there. Goodbye.
Mata ne.